Hey, well, thanks for joining me. My apologies to anyone who couldn't get through with the deacon. We'll bring him back. Let's pray. Let's pray the chaplet. I really hope you had a great, great Divine Mercy Sunday. And I don't know, ever since my Divine Mercy Sunday, I felt in the days that followed such a, I don't know, there's a grace. Maggie, you're nodding your head on that too. Do you feel the same thing? My level of spirituality is a little more in tune. And I guess that's what happens when sin, when our human inclinations, when the temporal punishment that's due to those transactions, those transgressions against God, when all that's removed, when you're newly baptized, so to speak, when your soul is made snow white once again, I feel this greater hunger and desire for God, and my prayer intensity has really deepened as well. What's your experience been like?
I've felt a lot more peace internally. Yes. Yeah. The Monday after, I felt like I was like on cloud nine.
I loved it. I felt the same way the next day. I couldn't wait to go to Mass and pray and spend time with the Lord. I didn't have that sense, the same experience I had last year when I received the Eucharist. And Maggie and I were talking about, you know, the Feast of Mercy. You know, the Lord spoke about 14 different times to St. Faustina, more than any other aspect of the devotion to Divine Mercy. And on that day, he said, the floodgates of his mercy are open. And he says, if you go to confession and receive the Eucharist in a state of grace, you get this extraordinary grace. You can get a plenary indulgence, but you also get this extraordinary grace in that day. But Maggie, when you received the Eucharist, you felt an infusion, right? You felt like, you felt an energy when you received it. That was 2 years ago. Did you get it this year?
It was delayed.
I didn't get it.
It was different than last year. I felt it wasn't until I got back to my pew that I felt something residual on my tongue, but it wasn't the same as last year.
Last year when I received the Eucharist, I was walking back to my pew and I just felt this charge of energy. I felt this release. I don't know. My whole entire body was infused with something very spiritual. I can't put a word on it. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. An energy. I don't know. I don't know. That's not the right word. But this year I didn't encounter that. I was a little disappointed. You know, but I'm like, oh.
Maybe that's why you're praying.
That's right.
Maybe
that's it. You know, faith is not about feeling. You know, I pray, I don't feel like I'm close to God. It's not about feeling. I mean, your walk with the Lord really is an act of will. You know, love is an act of will. Forgiveness is an act of the will, right? It's not about how it makes us feel. And, you know, right now I know you might be in a very difficult time. Maybe you're dealing with some sort of medical treatment, or your finances are unbelievably poor, or your promotion you didn't get. Maybe you just lost your job. Maybe you see, you know, the walls moving in on you. Again, I'm going to say, you know, God's going to be with you. We're going to pray right now. You may not feel it. You may not know it. But we're going to support you in prayer, and I know God's going to help you in your battle. He's going to fight it with you. You know, he's going to turn things around to your advantage. That's what prayer does. It's the key to God's heart, prayer. And I believe things are going to turn around for you. The enemy wouldn't be fighting you right now if you are not a threat, if what you're doing is not bringing about a good, if this is not part of the mission and the destiny that God has created you for. I often find that the closer I get to the target, the center of it, the bullseye, when I'm doing God's work, the more fire I come under. When I'm away, yeah, not so much, right? It came to me in a powerful way that's why you're under such spiritual warfare. That's why you're under such attack in the family. That's why you're going through such difficulties. The evil one would not be trying to stop you if you weren't on the verge, I think, of something amazing. If you weren't on the verge of maybe accomplishing what God has really set you out to do. And you may not even know it. It might be the person that comes across your path. It might be the witness that you give. It may be the new door for you that's about to open. But he knows you're about to step into a new level. He knows you're about to take new ground for your family. He knows you're about to come into your promised land, right? Seeing something maybe you've never seen before. So let's pray for that right now. Let's pray that those obstacles in your way are removed, that whatever God has in store for you is made manifest to you, all right? That the difficulty you're going through right now can be mitigated, and that you're going to be able to look back. That sickness, that trouble at work, that loneliness, that depression, that anxiety, that it will all go away, and that God will shower you with abundance and blessing. That's what we should pray for today for you, okay? Can I get an amen from you?
Amen.
Amen, sister. All right. I sound like a Protestant preacher. I love
That's
it.
That's okay.
No, I do believe that. I mean, I've seen it in my own life. And I quote Faustina all the time where I say, the greater and the more beautiful the work, the greater the storm that rages against it. I mean, Faustina knew that. And anytime you do something for God or you're at a breakthrough, you're about to do something that the Lord has intended for you, get ready, man. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. But we're not to get worried about that. We should rejoice. Be excited about it. Maggie, anything you want to pray for before we kick it off?
Nothing actually in particular today. Just I want to lift up all of those in the Chicago area. We were just looking at some stuff about violence here in the city.
I saw that in the news. Unbelievable. Yeah. Bizarre. Why that? Well, that's a whole other conversation. Lord, I pray for our leaders.
Tomorrow.
For the policies that we have. I pray for peace in this country. Pray for our world leaders. Somebody did write to me right before walking in the studio. They said, "Can you pray for my husband who has a new job interview? He has a job interview today. He's in a job that he's not happy with, and he feels like it's a dead end for him, Drew. The company he works for opened a position that seems more appropriate for him, and we are praying he'll get the job and that it will pay enough to support our family." Well, I'm going to pray for you today, and I know everyone else is too. So let's pray for those new beginnings, those new jobs, you know, that better health and all those things that I know so many people are asking God for. I want to pray for those who have ruptured relationships. Somebody shared a heart-moving story with me yesterday. I don't have time to share it with you, but it's really hard on this person. Deeply spiritual woman who spends so much time with God. And boy, like I say, Satan often attacks, and he knows how he can wound you. So I want to pray for any misrepresentation and for healing for those who are overcome with anxiety and depression as well. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today. It comes from Sherry in Duarte, California. Hi, Sherry. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew, and thank you so very much. I'm calling for John Barnes. He's dying. He's on hospice care, and they're not giving him any IV fluids or anything to eat. And he's in a nursing home, a very exclusive one. In any event, the family has decided to put him on hospice. Okay. He has not eaten or drinking or had anything to drink for almost 2 weeks now. I was his Eucharistic minister, and I'm visiting him, praying for him. He doesn't talk. He doesn't even, once in a while, he'll open his eyes. That's about it. And he is he's a good Catholic man.
Good.
And, you know, he's 86. Mm-hmm. And he's just given up. So I'm praying for his soul.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you. I mean, it's funny. I've seen other people do the same thing. I knew somebody who decided that was it, and they gave up. Here's the beauty of what we're about to do, Sherry. We all make this journey to our eternal home. Let's pray for him now. I pray for you, too, for your service to him and bringing the Eucharist, and just for, I want to pray for his soul. Lord, I pray for John, who's dying, and refusing to eat, refusing to drink, and I trust in you. Lord, I know that this is the prayer for the dying. Faustina often prayed this for the sick and the dying, often would be at the bedside, mystically being in two locations at once, bilocating the deathbed. And she wrote in her diary entry 1777, where she says, you know, pray as much as you can for the dying. Your prayers, you know, your entreaties, it will obtain for them. Trust in my mercy. And that's when they have it the least, you know, they need it the most. And we can pray this for that soul that is in these critical moments. And the Lord says, yeah, I'll defend anyone who prays it. Anyone who prays this as my own glory. That counts for you right now. I defend as my own glory every soul that will pray the chaplet. And when others say it for a dying person. So it's a privilege to pray for this man right now. And we'll lift him up to the Lord and ask that God take him in his merciful embrace. I want to pray for all those on hospice right now, all those who are dying, all those who will die as we pray this chaplet, all of our own deaths. We don't know the hour. Today could be it. We don't know. We have years or minutes. So, Lord, I entrust to you all who pray with me now, their loved ones. I give you my own heart. And I just ask that when we draw our final breath, you will meet us as our merciful Savior, not our just judge. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from John. He's praying in Fairview, New Jersey. John, good afternoon. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for your whole staff. You know, you guys are incredible. I'm going to try to be as quick as possible. It must have been a sign because the first, the Deacon Riley that you put on, I've been stuck in a blockchain transaction. And it's been really affecting me really bad. I put, you know, I bet a hunch. I hope I don't lose a bunch here.
Yeah.
So I need guidance. And then I'm praying hard for it. I need prayers. I'm in really financial bad shape, but I don't even know how to explain this to people in my family yet, so I'm at a dead end here. So,
well, let's,
I just need help.
Yeah, well, let's pray that God. Let's pray that God turns that around for you, right? So that will be a blessing. It'll be a bunch, not just a hunch, right? We'll pray that for you. And the novena to Our Lady Undoer of Knots is starting soon. And Cardinal Bergoglio, who's the Pope, Pope Francis, was a big devotee of that, and turned to Our Lady in that. And you know what, John? We're going to pray for you now. And this situation can be remedied. I have no doubt about it. God can work a miracle in this. Faustina writes in her diary, she says, you know, your duty is just to trust. The Lord says, your duty is to trust in my mercy. And then here's the caveat. He says, my duty is to give you all you need, right? So we're in a dynamic here where the more you trust, the more you get, right? The Lord says, I make myself dependent on your trust in these situations. So if your trust is great, then my generosity will be without limit. My generosity will be without limit if your trust is great. It's hard when the numbers don't add up and things don't look good to really trust. It's hard to get out and walk on water when the laws of physics say you can't do that, right? Peter did it, so he took his eyes off of Christ. Let's do this now. Let's trust. Let's put our trust entirely in God and say, Lord, I need your help here, please. You know, and I'm going to give you everything. And if you do that, I know the Lord's generosity will be without limit. That goes for all of us, whether it's health or finances, whether it's relationship. That's the way God wants it. It's a strange spiritual dynamic. If you can unlock this cave, if you can use this key to unlock your problems, you're going to see miracles. So let's pray right now. Eternal Father, I give you John and all those who are crying out to you as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, John, we'll keep praying for you, brother. Hang in there. Before I go to Mary in San Diego, let me go to Maggie. Maggie's taking your calls. Our lines are filled here, so if you don't get through, great way to get your intention on air is by going to our Twitter page at Drew Mariani Show. At Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me at Drew Mariani. Please do that on all of our social media. And please leave your intention. Maggie will give it voice. She's going to do that right now.
So D wrote to us on Twitter, Drew. D says, please pray for my son Matthew, who had a seizure at school today. Pray that it's only a one-time thing. Alicia wrote to us and said, prayers for my sister, Guadalupe Valdez. She was recently diagnosed with breast cancer and just had a mastectomy, and we're going in for her cancer staging results tomorrow. We need a miracle. She is a cerebral palsy person with special needs.
Wow, so sad.
Prayers for Guadalupe.
Tough.
Marianne wrote to us and said, please pray for my granddaughter's relationship with her son and his dad's family. It seems like there might be a family curse there.
Mm.
Elizabeth wrote to us and said, work has been really slow. Please pray that it picks up very soon. Thank you. And Rosie wrote to us. She said, prayers for my friend Shirley regarding her educational goals. Today she has an important meeting regarding graduation. She's worked so hard and endured so many obstacles. We're praying for a positive resolution with this meeting and for her graduation.
Wow. Great intentions. I love the span of them. We'll lift them all up and we'll add them along with Mary's intention. Hi, Mary. Thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you so much. I'm calling for a miraculous healing for Molly, a young girl with an autoimmune disease that is disintegrating parts of her body.
That's rough stuff. All right, let's pray. Her name's Molly. Is that what you said, Molly?
Yes, Molly. Thank you.
Oh, you got it. Lord, I give you Mary and her intentions here. Pray for her great niece. I pray for anyone who has autoimmune diseases and all the complications that often manifest from them. And I just ask for your healing touch. I give you the body, as always. I give you those with cancer. I give you those with debilitating diseases. And I just ask for your embrace. I want to pray for two friends of mine, Jay and Laura, who are heading to Israel tomorrow. Father Rocky is too. I'm going to pray for him and all who are traveling with him for safe passage for those who travel. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Blanca next, listening in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Blanca. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, Drew. Yeah, I'm going to make it quick. I'm calling for my sister. She's having surgery in her stomach tomorrow.
Wow.
I'm a teacher, and I've called before, so I just want everything to go well tomorrow in her surgery. She's my right hand, I guess,
All right,
or my left hand. And I'm calling for my health and my son. He has a lot of difficulties, my marriage, and I want a house. I don't know how I'm going to have it, but someday I will. And I'm calling also for Thanksgiving because I called maybe a month ago about a friend of mine that her son you know, wanted to commit suicide.
Yeah,
and so I'm calling for Thanksgiving for that because he's in treatment and he's being better, and she's now praying the Divine Mercy too, and she did the novena.
That's great.
So, and she's on board with that. She wasn't on board before. So I'm just thankful. And I'm thankful to you guys at Relevant Radio. Thank you.
God bless you, Blanca. And thanks for giving us the good news regarding the soul that we prayed for. It was back in February, I think you called about the suicide. So we're so grateful for you. You know, when it comes to the house, here's the thing. That sounds like an impossible thing. I want a house one day. I don't know how I'll ever get it. I don't have the credit. I don't have the money. I don't have the job. I don't have the income. You pray and ask God for it. That's called a big cup, right? I share a story every year in November. There's a soul who we're praying the St. Andrew Novena for a home. And their prayer was answered in such a dramatic way where God actually put in their life a man who bought them a home mortgage free. So we limit God. We hold out these thimbles, these tiny little cups. Lord, if it's possible, could you help me get a house? Or could you maybe help me get the loan? Or, you know, it's like, you know, why not say, Lord, can I have a house? Right? Well, why not pray big? God can give you the mortgage. He can give you a small house and give you a big house. Who knows how your fortunes are going to change? We limit God. You know, I think we do him a disservice. It was disrespected. He created the universe, right? He created all of it. He offered Faustina in one area of her diary. He said he would create a whole new world for her. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's crazy, right? It's hard to get my head around that one. So you pray for whatever it is you want, right? If it's that healing, that marriage, that future spouse, that baby that the doctors say you'll never have, you pray big and you ask God and you trust and you watch. And then you report back to me. You let me know how God has worked those miracles in your life. Eternal Father, I thank you for your mercy. I turn to you as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And you know what? I'm asking God for something really big too, right? I'm asking for something really big. And I ask him every single day. There's not a day that's go by that I don't ask for this really big prayer, right? Every day. Because I know when you knock, the door's open. You ask, you receive, right? When you seek, you find. That's what I do day after day after day. And you know what? I'm going to get it. And I'm going to tell you about it one day. So that's my faith. That's why I'm going to work. Fernando in Highland, California. Thanks for joining me. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you. I want to report some prayer Thanksgiving for my wife's pancreatic cancer exam. The last one she had, they didn't find anything. She's got another one coming to check again, make sure it's gone. So that's gone well, I thank God. And also for a doctor I offered up for, my sister-in-law works for him. Anyways, his diagnosis is for the cancer that he's been diagnosed with is minimalized, and he's getting treatment, so it looks like it's getting better. Ask for continued prayer for that.
Praise God.
And then I have some, a brother-in-law has cancer and he's gone through treatment, and pray for his healing. And then another co-worker of my sister-in-law, he came up and passed a note to her of hearing of the prayers that were offered for the doctor, and asked for his father, Mark Holchek, for his stage 4 cancer. And then a friend of ours just called my wife and said, for Elias Rivero, he has stage 4 blood cancer.
Wow.
So if we could offer prayers for them.
Hey, Fernando, first of all, thank you for the beautiful testimonies and the answers to prayers. I think it's so important for us to hear how God does work. Let's lift up cancer. I mean, this is a common denominator in your intentions here. I want to pray for your wife, for your friend's health, for those individuals. Lord, I beg for your mercy today. May there be many miracles of cancer. Let those tumors shrink, the cells disappear, the scans come back, and the doctors not have explanations. I pray for healing and recovery for those seeking it. I want to pray for Maureen right now in Palatine, Illinois. I'm going to sneak her on here. She's in a really critical situation. I know she can use your prayer. Maureen, thank you for joining us.
Yes, we're just asking for prayers for my mom, Anne, as she's actively dying right now. She's surrounded by her family and much love, but she's a woman of great prayer. She's taught our family many beautiful things about Jesus, and so we just ask for peaceful passing and pain-free.
Well, it's an honor to pray for her and with you. My heart goes out to you. It does, but we will pray that our merciful Savior welcomes her with open arms and takes her to paradise, and we know one day you will certainly be with her. So, Maureen, we're here praying for your mom right now. This is the prayer. This is the prayer. The Lord promised anyone who prays the Chaplet of Divine Mercy that he would stand between God the Father, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. That he would come not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. That this is going to be a great hour of mercy, this great hour of her death. And I thank you for Maureen's mother. Thank you for all those in our life, all those you've called home, all those who will soon be called home. And again, I just ask you, comfort those who have lost loved ones and show mercy to those now approaching the threshold of new life. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for
Saint us. St. Joseph,
pray for
Saint
us.
St. Faustina,
pray for
Saint
us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hey, I want to put something on your radar. Tomorrow night, I'm actually going to pray the rosary across America. I'm going to sit in for Father Rocky. I'll be on camera. I'll be doing what Father normally does. So if you want to see me, I bumped into a guy at Divine Mercy Sunday services. He goes, oh, where are you from? I said, so-and-so. And, well, what are you doing? I said, I work for Relevant Radio. I listen to Relevant Radio. He says, what do you do there? I said, well, I do a radio program. Well, what's your name? And I told him, oh, you? I thought you had glasses and were smaller and... Yeah, I thought your hair was black. Well, I said it was black. Well, it used to be jet black, not anymore. things change. So everybody has different visions of what you look like. And when they meet me, they're like, oh, I thought you were taller. I thought you were smaller. I thought you were bald. I thought you wore glasses. Yeah. So I'll be praying tomorrow night. So if you want to join me for the Family Rosary Across America, we would love to do that. But tomorrow at 9 a.m. Central, 10 Eastern, 9:30 tomorrow, 10:30 Eastern, huge announcement. Father Rocky and I are going to anchor something that's happening here. And I think it's kind of cool. Something great for our country. So be sure and join me. I'll be jumping in the Patrick Madrid show a little bit early tomorrow. Got to take a short break. Dr. Bob Tabali is going to be stopping by. Did you know there's a new COVID subvariant out there? You might have had it. You might get it. I'll fill you in.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Jim, who's listening to us in Missouri, for donating his Ford Mustang. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for praying with me. It was great. Really felt the Holy Spirit today, and as God answers your prayers, send them in to me. Let me know, okay? You can send me your miracles, your praise reports, your answered prayers. Just email me, drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com. Join me every day at the same time. We pray that beautiful prayer. Hey, how are you feeling? Your throat a little bit sore, maybe? You got some body ache, maybe some fatigue, maybe a little brain fog. You feeling down and out? I know a couple people who've been down and out like that. My wife was one of those not too long ago. I thought, maybe it's just a common cold. I didn't think too much of it. So a couple days after she was that way, I was feeling similar, but she had it for multiple days. But she was doing too much work. I mean, this was right before Easter, and of course she's cooking, and the kids are all coming over. Well, when I got it, I mean, it felt terrible. I know, maybe it was just a cold. Maybe it was some sort of spring flu. I don't know what's going around. Didn't think twice about it because COVID's in the rearview mirror, right? It's behind us. Maybe it's not. I was thinking, I saw a story that I thought, well, maybe I had COVID or maybe she did. I don't know. Maybe not. We never got tested, you know. I think we're over it in the sense that the pandemic's done, right? You just want to live your ordinary life. A lot of people I still see wearing masks. They even, you know, glove up sometimes when they're out in public. And I don't know their personal situation. They may have legitimate cause for that. I do think it's a little crazy when you wear your mask and you're in your car by yourself. You know, why are you doing that? But that's not very common. In fact, President Biden, I don't know if you caught this. I think it was earlier this month, last week or the week before, he signed an official document saying that the pandemic emergency was over. And, you know, we are done. It's a month earlier than we anticipated. They were going to do it a little bit later. But supposedly there's a new variant out right now. And I don't know how this will affect you. It's starting to make the rounds. According to the CDC, it's been designated subvariant XBB.1.16. World Health Organization says it's been detected right now in 29 countries, including the U.S. And the CDC was saying it made up about 7% of COVID cases last week. So what's distinctive about this variant, though, is it can cause conjunctivitis, which is red and itchy eyes. Uh-oh. I was rubbing my eyes yesterday. Maggie said to me, "You got allergies?" I said, "No." Maybe they were just dry. Maybe I was just tired. Oh, there's my call screener. He's got his mask on already. Good job, Patrick. The FDA has withdrawn its approval. Also, the earliest version of the vaccines. You might have got the COVID, Pfizer. I don't know which vaccine you got, Moderna. Apparently, they have withdrawn its approval, the earliest versions of the vaccines. And they're only allowing what's called bivalent vaccines, or vaccines that deal with two strains. And they're the ones that now can be used. So the only strains that those shots deal with are the ones that have already come and gone. And it means that Switzerland has withdrawn recommendations to receive any COVID vaccines. And that means that doctors won't be shielded from liability if something bad happens to the person who gets the vaccine now. So a lot to talk about, a lot to think about. If you want to join me, feel free to call in, because Dr. Robert DiBolli is back. You can speak to him directly by calling 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Love to hear from you. Sound off. If you're in the medical community, feel free to sound off too. Let me know what you're hearing. Dr. DiBolli, of course, longtime friend and physician of this radio program, guided us through those years of COVID, and he's back to give us the latest. Hey, Doc, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Yeah, I'm just like a bad penny, and I'm just like a COVID. I'm back. I just got over my fifth round of COVID.
Are you kidding me? You tested and you had COVID? I should have tested. I should have tested my wife is what I should have done. So how are you doing now? What were the symptoms?
I'm doing fine. It was mid-March. We had it going around the facility where I work in, and I had a really bad headache, came on really suddenly, and overwhelming fatigue. Uh-huh. I didn't have itchy eyes, and I didn't have a fever. And those are the the hallmarks of this strain apparently are itchy eyes and a high fever. And it's also said greater inflammation because there's a change in the spike protein, which makes it more infectious. Have we heard that before? It's more infectious than other strains, apparently. And it was initially seen in India, and they've had over 60,000 people get infected with it there. You know, India's got 1 billion people, so it remains to be seen if this is going to be significant or not. I don't think there's any early reports of it being more aggressive as far as causing disease out of hand with the out of character with the, what the other strains have recently have been causing. But, you know, the thing we always worry about is if this there's an exchange of material between this and another virus picking up additional virulence factors or characteristics like from influenza or some other, you know, an avian flu or something like that. And, you know, the fact that it's circulating and chronically infected and circulating like in deer and other mammals, you know, here in the United States, we worry about that genetic sharing in the animal population and coming back to humans. So, you know, almost everybody in the world that's alive today has had COVID or been vaccinated. The vaccines, the major benefit from the vaccine was really if somebody got two shots of vaccine about 6 to 9 months apart. And so that's kind of where the first booster was a value. But we haven't really seen additional boosters be of significant long-term value. So, you know, when patients ask me, you know, should I get another booster and another booster and another booster, I, you know, I review it with them. And if they had the two shots that were 3 weeks apart, which is really too close together, to be honest, and they had a booster later, then additional boosters really, at this point, in our understanding, no significant value. And, you know, with the ending of the emergency, It's not clear whether the you know, I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But these emergency use authorization medicines like Paxlovid, which is expected to continue to be active as it has been in all other COVID strains, it's not clear whether that's going to be manufactured anymore or going to be available because it's not yet approved. Wow. It's still under the emergency use authorization. So.
That's interesting. My guest today, Dr. Robert Tabali. We have him for a few minutes today, so I will open the phones in a minute. If you want to get in, 888-914-9149. You know, I had done my taxes a little while ago, and when my accountant was dealing with all this stuff, they said their office, like four or five people in their office were all out. They were out for like a week because they came down with COVID. I'm curious about how we test for this. We have this new subvariant that's out there. I have a couple of the old test kits. Like I said, Kathy wasn't feeling that great, but we never tested. I never even thought of COVID. That's how far off my radar it was. Do those test kits that the government sent out to everybody or that you could pick up at the store, do they detect COVID with this new variant that's now out or with these latest strains?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think we know the answer to that yet. A lot of these tests that, you know, that the CDC is publishing are PCR testing and not the antigen testing that you can do at home. So I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything one way or another. But we do know that as the variants continue to mutate and that those antigen tests became less sensitive, meaning they would miss cases of COVID that were actually present. Wow. So
we'll take a few calls, I said, in just a second, but let me follow up on the whole vaccines. Why did the FDA withdraw approval for the earliest versions of these COVID vaccines? I mean, is that variant done and over right now? So, you know, and what are they going to do with that stockpile? You just destroy all that? And, you know, give me the latest on the whole vaccine thing. I know people still have concerns about, you know, the cell lines and its connection to abortion and things along those lines. What do we know about the new vaccine? Why did they do away with those earlier versions?
Well, the CDC, or excuse me, the FDA is looking at this and saying, well, you know, the initial vaccine was based on the I forget what they call it, but the wild type variant. So the very first circulating strains that we isolated here in the United States and Washington and so on. And there's over 600 different variants that continue to circulate just in the Omicron line right now. And so the bivalent vaccine is the wild type strain, the initial strain that was circulating, plus an Omicron. So, and it's like a half a portion of each. The first vaccine had a full portion of the wild type vaccine, and the bivalent, it's mixture of two, right? Yeah. The initial and the Omicron, and it's like a half portion of each one of those. So you're not getting double the dose. Now
Doctor, hold that thought. Hold that thought. I hear my bumper running. I have to take a short pause here. When we come back, we'll also dive into some telephone calls. I only have Dr. Tabali maybe 10, 15 more minutes. But we're giving you the latest. You may not have heard that there is a new subvariant out there, XBB1.16, that's out there. What are the symptoms? Will vaccines be effective against it? We'll talk about that and more.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Jim, who's listening to us in Missouri, for donating his Ford Mustang. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
You want to hear a frightening stat? I don't know how true this is. It was reported in the Epoch Times, written by a physician by the name of Suzanne Burdick. Here's the headline. 45 times as many deaths after COVID shots in just 2 years compared with all flu vaccines-related deaths since 1990. Really? 30 years? 30-some years? I don't know how true that is. I haven't read the article, but it just came across my radar there, I think it was from the childrenshealthdefense.org. I'll see if I can maybe give it to Maggie and check it out. But anyway, we're talking, if you're just joining me today, COVID, believe it or not, I thought it was in the rearview mirror. I know a lot of people have been getting sick lately, and then I just discovered there's a new variant out, XBB.1.16, and just here to fill you in on what you need to know and how to protect yourself. Dr. Tabali joins us. He's been our COVID doc throughout the past couple of years. And doctor, let's jump into the phones because time will fly here, as you know. John is in Tampa, Florida, listening. John, good afternoon. You are on the air.
Good afternoon, Drew. Good afternoon, hey. Doctor. Quick question. I had a friend who recently passed away. He had a stroke within a week of getting his second COVID shot, and something strange happened. He lost circulation in his foot, and by the time he passed away, his entire foot was black. I think he died of gangrene rather than any other cause. They said it was too dangerous to operate on him because he had some other medical issues. Has there been any study or even anecdotal evidence from coroners or other people? Because I've heard that some coroners have said they find long metallic strands from clotting inside patients who've received this mRNA. So I just wanted to hear if there's any studies or any other.
Thanks, John. I heard the same thing about those really long clots coroners are finding. Doctor, what do you know?
Well, there's a lot written about it. None of it is kind of got the imprimatur of the government or the CDC or anything like that. But it is very worrisome, and it's kind of, you know, we don't know that the vaccine elements don't incorporate themselves into other tissues other than your arm. I mean, it's intended to be just in your arm, but there was a study that showed that the liver cells could uptake the messenger RNA vaccine and actually keep it in their cells and continue to make spike protein. So, you know, we don't know if that occurs if the elements get into a bloodstream, like if they put the shot into a vein and if it could go to your heart or could go to other organs. You know, that hasn't been investigated. It's not known if that happens. But, you know, I myself had a patient that I was caring for that had a vaccine, And then about 4 or 5 weeks later, he developed a very long blood clot that the cardiologist had to go in and actually extract it. And they had never seen anything like this before. But, you know, he survived that. But there's a lot of reports, you know, coroners and then undertakers saying that they're seeing these long fibrinous clots that they've never seen before. And I don't know anything more about it than anybody else does that reads the newspaper, but it is worrisome. You know, I personally don't recommend the vaccines for any child. And I think the whole Greater Barrington Declaration that Jay Bhattacharya put forward and those guys, you know, that the vaccines really should be used for people at higher risk, you know, over 65, obese, diabetes, immune deficiencies and things like that. But like a 16 or 20 year old person with no underlying medical problems, I mean, they can get COVID. I mean, they rarely could die, but, you know, the vaccines are associated with a significant amount of morbidity, you know, myocarditis, other stuff. You know, I've had patients with severe neurologic problems following the vaccine. And, you know, again, there's more and more information coming out about it. But I think people who are cautious about the vaccines at this point are exercising wisdom. So,
yeah. All right. Well, let's move along. We only have a few minutes. Mary in the Twin Cities, thanks for waiting. You are on the air with Dr. Dabali.
Thank you for taking my call. So my sister who's not vaccinated now takes care of her granddaughter who was vaccinated at 6 months, sadly. And every time she cares for her, like on Tuesday and Thursday. So she gets really sick after watching her granddaughter. And she's healthy as a horse otherwise. I mean, she has other chronic issues, but she takes ivermectin, hydrochloroquine, and she feels better the next day. And so someone suggested that your granddaughter is probably shedding and you're reacting to that. And could you speak to us about that? What does that mean?
Thanks, Barry.
Well, the long and short of it is that the vaccine only, the messenger RNA vaccine causes some of your body cells to manufacture the spike protein. So it doesn't make a complete virus, and you can't get an infection from somebody who got vaccinated, even if they're having a problem with the vaccine, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So, I mean, it's an incomplete portion of the virus. So if that child has other children in the household and they go to school and they congregate with other kids, I mean, that young child is exposed to everything that those other kids are, and so could give grandmas, you know, like a regular standard summer cold virus and so on. And, you know,
that's what I'm thinking, doctor. You know, your kid goes to preschool or first grade or whatever. They come back with all sorts of stuff. If your immune system is not that great, you might come down with a lot of sicknesses. Mary, thank you. I'm going to move along, but you don't think it's shedding. So we only have a few minutes. Let me grab another quick call here. Joanne in Naples, Maine. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Dr. Kabali. Thanks for coming back again. I remember you saying you were going to wait for the Novavax vaccine. And if you recall, I never got vaccinated. I had an anaphylactic reaction to the J&J. And I'm doing home tests constantly with COVID, the BioNTech. They've never been positive, but I have all the symptoms. And I know the ICU here in Maine has many new cases, and I don't know which variant, and also several people I know have come down with it.
All right, Joanne, thanks. Bob, following up on her too, did you ever get the Novavax she's asking? And I'll let you respond to her comments.
Well, all the patients that I shepherded into waiting for the Novavax, we could never find it anywhere.
Yeah.
It was never available. And so I'm sure that it was available other places, but a lot of people didn't pick up and get the Novavax. The Novavax, there's no possibility of having a lot more spike protein manufactured in your body cells, because when you get vaccinated with it, you get a certain amount. The Moderna and the Pfizer, there's no way of knowing how much spike protein your body makes after being vaccinated with those vaccines. But the Novavax was a certain specific amount. So, what else? So everybody should be taking vitamin D. You know, I take 4,000 units a day. Dr. Fauci takes 6,000 units.
Wow.
And then vitamin D is probably one of the most significant things in surviving COVID, you know, having a normal vitamin D level. So anything else you do, you can do. Some people take ivermectin. I mean, you still can't prescribe ivermectin. I can prescribe abortion pills across state lines where I don't have a license. You know, that's okay, but I can't prescribe ivermectin, you know. And I'm an infection doctor. I use ivermectin for parasitic infections, you know, and they, you know, the pharmacies won't fill it.
Hey, doctor, let me just say this, because I know how radio works. Dr. Tabali's never written a script for an abortion. Just so you know, you know, people hear things, doctor, sometimes that you say, and they think, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. I got less than a minute to go, so I'll give you that final thought.
I would never prescribe an abortive fashion. And, you know, this whole concept has touched my life pretty closely. And I'm devoting the rest of my life to trying to do something for the survivors of abortion and children who died in their age of innocence. So so I would never do anything. I was just saying that the law allows me to do such a thing, they don't allow you to prescribe.
No, I know. I just, you know, I'll talk on the air and people will hear me say something I've never said. I just didn't want that shadow hanging over me. But I totally get your point, and it's a valid one, right? You can't prescribe ivermectin, but you can certainly do it in other states for writing scripts for abortion. Doctor, I'm going to leave it right there. We've got to take a short pause. I got the news and headlines straight ahead, but I'm going to be back on the other side. Stay with me.